There are very few things that investors can do that are free. But what about a podcast that delivers educational content on investing, saving strategies, financial planning, items of interest, and even the odd wacky topic? Welcome to Free Lunch, hosted by the CM Group. Free Lunch will bring listeners the team's vast knowledge and experience in dealing with uncertainty to help clients achieve their vision through a deep understanding of what's important to them that requires planning, money, and time. Learn more and subscribe today at markets-work.com.
Welcome back to the Free Lunch Podcast with Colin and not Greg today. I have Karen Salenzi joining me. Welcome, Karen.
Thanks, Colin.
Nice to see you. I can see you. The listeners can't see you. That's okay. As one would say, I have a face for radio, you have a face for TV. So they're missing out. But anyways, before we get into it, last week we discussed the benefits of trade school versus a traditional university path. This is a conversation we have in our household. I don't know if you have the same conversation in your household about paths for your kids.
There's lots of conversations about future paths.
Yeah. Anyways, anybody that's interested in that topic, I would suggest go back and listen to that one, as I always suggest that people go back and listen to the previous episode, because I think we have some pretty good content.
Great content.
But over the last few years, we've spent a lot of time talking about a link between financial health and physical health, and we're going to talk a bit about that today. But before we do that, because you are a big part of that link with your background, I think we should take a few minutes and just introduce you. And maybe you can tell us your story. How did you get to where you are right now and starting with the CM Group and being here?
Yeah, it's a bit of a long story. So I hope I have more than a few minutes. Maybe not.
90 to 120 seconds.
Oh, so started in the financial industry back in 1994. So quite some time ago, working in the banks and dealing a lot with relationship management, which I really loved. That was everything from setting up bank accounts to doing loans to investing money into bank funds. And I loved the investment piece so much that eventually I went into just investment specialist roles and got to hone my skills working with savings and a lot of goal planning.
Which is really big in physical and financial arenas, right?
It absolutely is. And there's so many parallels that we can make when it comes to health and wealth. And eventually, when I was working with the banks, I started to oversee a very large sales force across Western Canada. When you're dealing with that many people who are providing goals and discussing investments with people, you start to see that there really is no one size fits all. I enjoyed that role. However, I really missed having those one-on-one relationships with clients. And so I got back into working directly with clients, got off the management track, and went back to the thing that I absolutely loved and continued doing that until I had kids. And that's not to say that once you have kids, your career is over. However, when my kids were born, they both had severe medical issues. One was acute and the other was chronic. And that gets in the way of how you envision your life sometimes. So we were incredibly fortunate. My husband and I, one of us was able to stay at home. And so I stepped away from the investment specialist role and being a broker or an investment advisor.
Yeah, you can't use the term broker.
I know.
It's an old term.
It really is. But you know what? When you step away, so I stepped away, in 2009, coming back in, there's been some changes.
Yeah, there's been a lot of evolution to this role.
Thank goodness. There really has been.
But when you stepped away, you didn't fully step away from other things. You started down the fitness coaching path.
I did. So when you stay at home with kids and they start to go to school, you find that you have a couple of hours in the day to do things. You don't have a full day because you got to pick them up at lunch and bring them back. But I found myself having a couple of hours every day that was free. And what kind of a job can you get that you only have to work 1 or 2 hours a day, Colin?
There's a few, but some of them are illegal.
Yeah.
So let's just stick to the
legal ones.
The legal ones, yeah.
Oh, we're doing that kind of a podcast. Okay, we'll talk only about board stuff. So I started teaching fitness classes and loved it. And there was a big education piece within that as well. Not only are you guiding people to a better life through health and fitness, and you're having fun doing it, but you can also teach them a lot of things about their bodies, how the body works, about how to set goals and achieve those goals. So I really loved that. And that role progressed to where I became a master trainer. So I would be sent out. I was working for a couple of different companies where I would be sent out to corporations of fitness facilities across North America to teach fitness instructors how to teach fitness classes. Not only that, then I was also involved in certification for personal training. So I got to do a lot of things. And that eventually led into me having a full-time job in the fitness industry, where I was overseeing at the time 45 instructors and 7 personal trainers. So train the trainer. And again, I just found myself really missing that one-on-one connection. Love working with people who are working directly with clients, but I miss it. That's my jam. I love client relationship. And it's different when you're in charge of someone doing the client relationship rather when you're in the client relationship yourself.
We met up for a coffee one day. And just so everybody knows, Karen and I go back 25 years, which is kind of scary to think about, but we both worked at a Canadian bank at the same time. And we met up for a coffee and you said to me, how do you get back into the investment world? I'm really keen to do that. I knew you from your previous role as being a very strong advisor, and obviously you've excelled in one-on-one type of roles and management roles. So we said, hey, we got a spot for you. And here we are today. So welcome.
Well, thank you. And I'm on the podcast.
You're on the podcast.
Very excited to be here.
Well, I mean, this is the self-proclaimed number one podcast in Canada. I can say that because it's self-proclaimed, right?
Does that mean that you're the self-proclaimed number one podcaster?
That's you saying that. So I'll take that as a maybe. But the podcast has been a lot of fun. We've covered a lot of topics over the years. And as I say, this health and wealth topic has come up a number of times. So with your background being in wealth first and then health and now back to wealth, you obviously see some parallels in those industries. Maybe share with us a little bit of just a macro view of where you see some of the opportunities in those.
There's some really big standout ones. And first of all, I think education is a really key component, because just like no one walks into a gym knowing how to do a Turkish get up perfectly, still don't know how to do one perfectly, but that's another story for another day. People don't walk in to a bank or an advisor's office knowing exactly what they need to do to make their money grow. So I see our role as advisors as being educators first and foremost. Along with that comes the day-to-day coaching, helping people understand more, putting solutions in front of them that they perhaps never even knew existed, and coming up with those ideas that will get them towards their goals. A great coach always leads their people to a goal. You see that in gyms, and you see that in what we do every single day, whether it's retiring early or paying off your house or even buying a house. That's where we start. And it's all individual and no two people are the exact same. Just like you and I, if we were to go work out together and do a squat, our squats would be similar, but they would look completely different. So I think that's really important as well. There is no one size fits all.
Every year around January, the gym gets really busy because everybody has these New Year's resolutions that of course, last about 2 weeks, and then the gym is not so busy after about January 14th, which is actually called National Quitters Day. But where I'm going is that whether it's finances or your physical health, let's stick to physical health for a minute. Somebody will say, I need to get in shape this year. It's a very broad statement. When somebody says that to you, like, I really want to get in shape this year, how would you reply to that?
Well, I think, first of all, it's important to define what does in shape mean to you? So you have to get specific. Do you have a goal? Do you want to put on muscle mass? Do you want to lose body fat? When do you want to do it by? What are some of the things that are getting in the way of you doing that now? Have you ever been in that type of shape before and you want to get back to it? Or is this something that's absolutely brand new? It's a bit of a discovery process. And anyone who says, oh, I've got the perfect plan for you without engaging in that type of a conversation, avoid, 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 because everything is so specific to each person.
And this parallels exactly into wealth management, because somebody would come in and say, well, I want to get 14% per year. And you say, well, where does that number come from? Do you need 14% per year? Do you know the amount of risk you have to take to get 14% per year? I mean, that's a lot of risk. Can you stomach the downtimes to try to achieve a 14% per year return? So isn't it kind of the same thing?
Absolutely. And it's about bringing awareness to that situation. In many different types of industries, you're going to have people that do quick fixes or fads and trends. And I can think of a few, like Bitcoin. Well, why? Why do you want to invest in Bitcoin? What is Bitcoin going to do for you? Have you heard about all the hype behind Bitcoin? And it's the same thing with these 30-day fitness challenges. It can get you started, but it won't necessarily get you where you want to go. And so awareness, education, those are great parallels. And I think that they speak to both these industries.
So right now, you've had to become recertified in the financial world. So you're coming off of writing a bunch of exams and doing some more. How has that changed since 2009?
It's changed a lot. And I just want to say, first off, I'm so incredibly thankful that this industry is so regulated. Because if it weren't as regulated as it was, you would have a lot of really poor advice giving individuals. And when we're talking about wealth, that's livelihood. And we want to ensure that we safeguard every dime. I was going to say penny, but I don't know. Do we still talk about pennies? Oh, that's one thing that's changed.
You know, it's funny. My friend said to me the other day, inflation's really high, but that's just my 17 cents. Just cracked me up.
It's true. It's actually fascinating, all the changes that has happened since 2009. And I'm glad that I have to rewrite all of these exams, as much as I complain about having no time as a result of all the studying, because there's been a lot of changes. And the number one change that I've noticed and that the industry is really supporting is moving away from commission-based sales to more discretionary management, fiduciary duty, and ensuring that the people that are doing that are acting in the best interest of the people in front of them.
I can tell you, back in the early 2000s, I used to sit in this bullpen at another brokerage, and I sat with a bunch of other rookie advisors trying to make their mark in the world. You'd hear all the conversations around you. And there were a few people that were notorious for trading just to trade. That is the old model, where you're selling TELUS and buying BCE for no particular reason other than there's a commission to sell and a commission to buy. So in that model, you know, even if somebody made, let's say, 14%, I don't know why that number is sticking to me, but if they made 14% on their TELUS shares, and I'm not promoting either of these companies, by the way, but maybe their broker would call them up and say, you know, you've made 14%. You probably want to trim some of that and maybe buy BCE instead. So of course, they would pay a 1% to 2% commission to sell TELUS, and then they would pay a 1% to 2% commission to buy BCE. So their 14% return all of a sudden looked more like 10%. How does that align with the fitness world? I've been in many gyms over the years where the big push is to work with a trainer, and the trainers always come across as, well, we're going to create a personalized plan for you. And then you start working with them and you get lumped in with other people, and all of a sudden you're just given a general workout. Do you find that?
I do. And it was something that I fought really hard not to let happen with the trainers that I was working directly with, that were working for me. Because again, no two people move the same and no two people have the same risk tolerance. You see that a lot in the industry. And I'm thankful that in this industry, we're seeing less of that. When you were talking about the 14% return and purchasing one share and selling another share, my immediate thought was, well, how does that fit into the overall plan? Sure, it's easy enough to buy and sell stocks, but how does that fit into the plan? Is there a plan? When we talk about fitness and personal trainers, it's got to start with the plan.
You know, I would go to this gym that I know you're aware of. I won't say their name because I don't want to get in trouble, but there was these two heavier guys. By heavier, I mean pretty heavy. And they would do bench press every day. And they were strong. Man, they could bench press a house. But I was worried they were going to have a heart attack leaving the gym.
And never leg day.
Never anything but bench press, it seemed like. There was a guy, a Dimensional Fund Advisors named Christian Newton, who we've referenced in the past. And he always had these like top 10 things to do for your investment plan. And I think number 7 was never skip leg day.
It's true.
If you're not doing general financial planning and you're going straight into products, well, you're skipping leg day. You're chasing shiny objects at that point. Do you find the same thing in the gym?
I do. It goes back to this trends and fads where people see what could be, but they're not necessarily putting in the proper steps or the work to get there. Everybody wants to have a giant, well-funded retirement, but you're not going to get there unless you take the basics.
So when you run across people in your world now that maybe didn't know that you were an advisor in 2009 because you stayed at home, you raised your kids, you were working in the fitness area, which you excelled at, obviously, and got to the pinnacle of that career. And you say to them, well, I'm working as a wealth advisor now. How does that relate? How do you answer that question?
Well, it's funny because when I was biking into work yesterday, this exact same thing happened. A gentleman that always used to come to my fitness classes, he was like, what do you mean? You're a broker? I said, well, actually, investment advisor. And he goes, wait, you need to have your CFP for that. And I was like, well, I did have my CFP. I have to get it again, but it's a disconnect. They don't really see it. To me, my university degree is in education, and I love telling people what to do. I like helping people reach their goals. And so fitness, health, wealth, it all starts there. When you can break it down and make it incredibly simple and give them steps to take, there's not a big difference. I mean, there is a big difference, but when it comes right down to it, helping people achieve their goals, it's simple, but it's not easy.
I know I'm at my best on the physical side when I are aware of what I'm eating. I'm aware of how many calories I'm burning. I'm aware of how much water I'm taking in, my sleep, etc. And if I stick to that plan, I get pretty good results. And I'm also aware that in the investment world, I need to be aware of what I'm investing in. I need to have a financial plan to know how much risk I need to take to get to wherever I want to go. I see it as essentially the same job, just with different types of outcomes.
And you don't have to wear Lycra to have a good investment plan.
Well, you could.
You could.
You know, it's comfortable. I'm not going to chastise anybody for wearing yoga pants around our office, but it would be a little strange, but that's fine. Okay, so I think that what we're going to end up doing with this is probably going to turn into a mini series on health and wealth.
There's a lot to talk about.
So just for the listeners that are with us, what are some of the maybe couple key takeaways that you would suggest right now as links between health and wealth that we're going to carry on with in a further discussion, a deeper discussion down the road?
It all starts with knowledge and discipline and building those foundational steps. And from there, then we can talk about discipline, consistency. How do you build those good habits? One thing that I would love to see, and I see this a lot in the fitness world, I see people celebrating events that they do. If they're running a 5K, if they got a personal best on a 10K, if they're doing their first fitness competition. And I would love to see it normalized that people celebrate meeting financial milestones and goals in a similar way. So I think we need to normalize that. A way of doing that is to get rid of any of these feelings of shame around debt or of around paying off debt, because that's always a celebration. And we can also talk about professional advice, both when it comes to meeting fitness goals and wealth, health, retirement goals, and then the long-term perspective, because without that plan in place, we need to address certain things, risk management, setting goals, and retirement planning.
So we often work with people both setting SMART goals, which is an acronym that many will be familiar with, but for those that aren't, they're specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. So setting a SMART goal is not, I need to get in shape this year. Setting a SMART goal is specifically, what do you mean by that? How do you measure your results? Is it attainable? Is it realistic? And can you achieve it in a timely fashion? To have somebody like the two gentlemen I mentioned that just do bench press all day, they're quite heavy. If they said, well, I need to get in shape this year, it's got to be more than just doing bench press. In your finances, it's the same thing. What's your specific goal? Like, I want to retire at age 55. That's a specific goal. Are you measuring your results to it? Is it realistic? If you have $100 saved at age 50 and you want to retire at 55, that's probably not a realistic goal. So is it realistic to your situation? Is it timely? That one always resonates with me, setting SMART goals.
And also dealing with setbacks. We all experience setbacks in whatever we're doing. So how do we deal with that in a way that encourages us to continue forward?
So there's a guy named Deming. I don't remember what book he wrote. He's an author, an academic, and he has this plan, do, check, act model, which is kind of the same thing. Set a plan, put it in place, check back on your results. And if you are off course, you need to course correct. You need to act and make adjustments. And I know in my health journey, if I've made a couple of bad decisions for whatever reason, because they were fun at the time.
Pizza. Are we talking about pizza?
I love pizza. And pizza's okay once a week.
Absolutely.
Pizza's not okay 5 times a week. But if you do have some of those tough weeks where for whatever reason you've gone off course, it doesn't mean that it all has to fall off. You can just course correct. And so the same thing is in your finances. If you haven't saved enough, you can course correct.
Yeah. And the sooner the better.
Sooner the better. Because you've got this compounding effect that'll work against you if you don't.
And let's not forget that change isn't easy for people. There's a model that maybe we'll talk about in one of our later podcasts, if I'm invited back. The trans-theoretical change model. And it's very specific, the stages that people go through. And we're here to lead you along the way.
Trans-theoretical change model, is that what you said?
Correct. It might be model change, behavior model change. I don't know. I'll look at my notes later.
I just like saying trans-theoretical. It's kind of like I like saying heteroscedasticity.
Oh, don't. I still can't say that.
Heteroscedasticity?
Yeah.
It takes some practice. We actually did a whole podcast on heteroscedasticity.
How many times did you say that?
I've said heteroscedasticity enough times that I don't have a problem saying heteroscedasticity. But yeah, that's a whole other topic. Maybe we'll wrap it up there for today, and we will carry on with this mini series, and we'll get into some more specifics. But again, I just want to say, really happy that you joined us, Karen. You're doing a great job.
Thanks.
You can definitely see the parallels between what you were doing for the last 15 years and what you're going to be doing for the next however many years. I think that our investors, our clients are going to benefit a lot from the results they're going to see from setting really specific goals and tracking those goals.
And we're going to have fun doing it.
Oh, we always have fun, for sure. This is a very serious arena, of course. The markets are serious places, but you got to have fun with them too.
Got to enjoy the people you're working with.
Absolutely. All right. Okay, well then, till next time.
Thank you for listening to the Free Lunch Podcast hosted by the CM Group. To subscribe to this podcast to get more realistic insights on investing or to connect with one of our talented partners, please head on over to markets-work.com. We'll see you next time on the Free Lunch Podcast. CIBC logo and CIBC Private Wealth are registered trademarks of CIBC. If you're currently a CIBC Wood Gundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Private Wealth consists of services provided by CIBC and its subsidiaries, including CIBC Wood Gundy, a division of CIBC World Markets Inc. CIBC Private Wealth is a registered trademark of CIBC used under license. Wood Gundy is a registered trademark of CIBC World Markets Inc. Colin Andrews and Greg Kraminsky are investment advisors with CIBC Wood Gundy. This information, including any opinion, is based on various sources believed to be reliable, but its accuracy cannot be guaranteed and is subject to change. CIBC and CIBC World Markets Inc., their affiliates, directors, officers, and employees may buy, sell, or hold a position in securities of the companies mentioned here and its affiliates or subsidiaries, and they also perform financial advisory services, investment banking, or other services for or have lending or other credit relationships with the same. CIBC World Markets Inc. and its representatives will receive sales commissions and or a spread between bid and ask prices if you purchase, sell, or hold the securities referred to above. CIBC World Markets Inc. 2024.